Before we start the shiur, firstly, apparently somebody in this room yesterday lost a ring. If by chance you have seen a ring, if you have found a ring, if you could bring it to my attention or to the attention of Gwen Horowitz, it would be greatly appreciated. Also, immediately following the shiur, it would be very, very helpful if people could lend a hand. This room needs to be used immediately after the shiur for another event, and there's some assistance needed to stack chairs and move tables to the sides. So if people at the conclusion of the shiur are able to give a couple of moments for that purpose, it would be greatly appreciated. I want to thank Gwen Horowitz, who's probably busy doing something at this very moment, and Rabbi Yehuda Saif for all the logistics involved with the program in general, and this program in particular. It's for us, it's a great schus, it's a great honor to once again be able to welcome Rabbi Herschel Schechter to our community. Rabbi Schechter is internationally renowned for his unbelievable chokhmah. He's sought the world over as a posek to the most difficult of shilas, the most difficult of questions. He is a celebrated Magid Shir who has published many svarim, printed many, many articles, and in conjunction with Pesach, it's very appropriate to be able to have a Rosh Hashanah deliver a shir on Chametz Sha'avra Alav HaPesach. A lot of times we think about the issues that come up before Pesach, but there are issues that come up after Pesach as well. And in our day and age where it's easier to store food for a longer period of time, and the technologies involved with the production and the storage and the shipping of food, the issue of Chametz Sha'avra Alav HaPesach has become a not only more complex question, but a question that is a much more real question for all of us as consumers of foods of any kind. And Rabbi Schechter, who has obviously, as I mentioned, the role of a posek, a Rosh Yeshiva, a Rosh Kollel, but also serves as the posek, as the halachic authority for the Orthodox Union, the largest kashrus agency in the world, and therefore is the expert on this particular issue. And it's a great schus, it's a great honor, a great kavod to call upon Mary Virabi Har Schechter to deliver a shiur.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. The story begins in Gemara Pesachim. If you have the Mar Mekaymus, one of them has a few sheets from the Gemara. There is a Mishnah in Chof Ches Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah has the din that to us is very famous. If a Jew had chametz in his possession during Pesach, so not only is the chametz asa b'hanoah, asa b'achila, asa b'hanoah, you're not allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to get any benefit from it during Pesach, it's even asa b'hanoah after Pesach is over. But if a non-Jew had chametz on Pesach, you're not allowed to eat it. There was one opinion in the Gemara that chametz that belongs to a non-Jew is mutar b'achila. You're allowed to eat it on Pesach. So that was quickly rejected. The Gemara said that's ridiculous. But chametz was owned by a non-Jew for the duration of Pesach. If the Pesach is over, it's mutar b'hanoah. That's our practice. We sell the chametz to the non-Jew, then we buy it back after Pesach. We assume that it's mutar b'achila, mutar b'hanoah. And the Mishnah says shenemar. Whenever you want to say there's a din that appears in Chumash, they quote shenemar. So they quote, how do you know? Where does it say in Chumash that chametz that was owned by a Jew on Pesach is also b'hanoah shenemar? The Mishnah ends with the line, "Lo yivar lechasa or." You're not allowed to have chametz in your property, in your possession. So the pasuk doesn't fit with the din. "Lo yivar lechasa or" means you're not permitted to have chametz in your ownership, but it doesn't say at all that the chametz sha'ava all of haPesach, if a Jew possessed the chametz, is going to be asamano after Pesach. So the Gemara is going to work on this Mishnah. So the Gemara raises the question on the bottom of Chav Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara wants to know whom does the Mishnah follow. There's one Tana, Rabbi Yosef Aglili, he's of the opinion that chametz bePesach is muta b'hano. Chametz is only asa b'achila and muta b'hano. So we don't follow his opinion. We hold that chametz is not only asa b'achila, it's asa b'hano. Let's say someone is a truck driver and he delivers chametz. So on Chalamayt Pesach, he doesn't want to lose money. He needs panasa, so he's going to deliver the chametz on Pesach. It's not his chametz. He drives a truck for someone, for a nachri, who owns the chametz. But if I get salaried, if I get paid to deliver chametz on Pesach, or if I get salaried to deliver basa b'chalov is asa b'hano, so I'm getting paid not to drive an empty truck. I'm paid to drive a truck with something that's asa b'hano. So to get salaried to do something with something that's asa b'hano, that's called getting hana from the Isuri hana. Let's say I'm a waiter in a restaurant, and they pay me to give the food to the customers. And it's a non-Jewish custom who's ordering basa b'chalov. He's not doing any avera by giving him the non-kosher food. I'm not in violation of the evil. It's ikta michshol. The non-Jews are permitted to eat basa b'chalov. But the basa b'chalov is also b'hano. So I should get paid a salary to serve him, to wait on the table. It means I'm getting hana from Isuri hana. So you're not allowed to. So Rabbi Yosef Aglili's opinion is the chametz b'pesach is muta b'hano. So we don't follow that opinion. That's out of the question. So the Gemara says the Mishnah clearly doesn't follow Rabbi Yosef Aglili. The Gemara says the two Tanoim that we're familiar with who say the chametz b'pesach is also b'hano have a machlokes regarding chametz she'ova olav ha'pesach. The Gemara on Daf Chav Ches on the days on the other side of that sheet mentions about 15 lines from the top. So the Gemara has the line begins with the word Yehuda, about 10-15 lines on the top. So the Gemara says, my time of the Rebbe Yehuda. The Gemara says, Tlosa Kroi Iksivi. There are three psukim in Chumash that say the exact same thing. It says, a chametz b'pesach is also b'achila. You're not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach. So Rebbe Yehuda is bothered with the question. The Tana Rebbe Yehuda is bothered with the question, why do you need three psukim that say exactly the same thing? The chametz is also b'achila. So he says, it must be, one pasuk tells you chametz b'pesach is also b'achila. For the duration of the days of Pesach. One pasuk goes, even though it's not clear in the pasuk, the second pasuk refers to Erev Pesach after Chatzos. That min haTorah you're not allowed to eat chametz even in Erev Pesach in the afternoon. And whoever eats chametz in Erev Pesach in the afternoon will get malchus because he violated an avera. And the third pasuk that says the chametz is also b'achila must refer to chametz she'over olav haPesach. Chametz that was in existence on Pesach. So even after Pesach, whether it was owned by a Jew or non-Jew, doesn't make a difference. Even in Tefke, doesn't have to belong to anybody. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you have the Tlosa Kroi Ksivi, you have three psukim that seem to repeat the same bit. Chametz is also b'achila. One pasuk refers to the 7 days of Pesach. One pasuk refers to Erev Pesach after Chatzos. It's also min haTorah, and one gets malchus if he eats the chametz. And the third pasuk refers to chametz she'over olav haPesach, that it's also min haTorah. So the Gemara says the Mishnah cannot follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda because according to Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't make a difference whether the chametz she'over olav haPesach was owned by a Jew or a non-Jew. Any chametz in existence on Pesach becomes also b'hano l'yoylam v'ed. And the whole institution of mechiras chametz is not going to help. If I sell my chametz to the goy, I won't violate by matzin. Then when I buy back from the goy, it's still going to be also b'hano. If I go shopping in a non-Jewish store, but the chametz was owned by a non-Jew, according to Abiyud, it doesn't help. Abiyud's opinion is the chametz she'over olav haPesach is an isa min haTorah. So the Mishnah clearly does not follow Abiyud's opinion. According to Abiyud, it doesn't make a difference. Chametz shel nachri, whether the chametz is owned by a Jew or a non-Jew, any chametz in existence on Pesach becomes also b'hanoa v'yoyl avoid. So the Gemara says that the Mishnah clearly doesn't follow Rabbi Yosef Aglili. He thinks the chametz b'Pesach is muta b'hano. So we don't follow his opinion. Mishnah doesn't follow Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. According to Rabbi Yehuda, chametz she'over olav haPesach is an isa d'oraisa, and it doesn't make a difference whether it's owned by a Jew or non-Jew. The Mishnah says it does make a difference. So it must be the Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that even though there are three psukim, it's only chametz is only also on Pesach. Chametz on Erev Pesach is an iser, because the pasuk says tashbisu, you're supposed to destroy the chametz. That's a mitzvah saseh tashbisu. You're not allowed to eat chametz on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, but if someone will eat chametz, he won't get malchus. There is no lav. So Reb Shimon is of the opinion that there's only one lav of chametz. Chametz b'pesach. There's no lav for eating. There's no iser for eating chametz on erev Pesach in the afternoon. And there's no iser at all for chametz over all of ha-pesach. Chametz that was owned by Jew during the duration of Pesach. You're allowed to eat it after Pesach. So the Mishnah doesn't make sense at all. That's what the Mishnah doesn't make any sense at all. So the Gemara finally answers on Daf Chavtes Amid Aleph. Says on the top of the page Chavtes Amid Aleph. Gemara finally answers about 13 lines from the top. The line begins with Tananami. So the Gemara says Rava Omar. Rava says the answer to the Mishnah is Le'olam Reb Shimon. The Mishnah follows the opinion of the Tana Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Reb Shimon Knasa Kanes Hava Avra Alei Bebal Yiroi Bar Yimotzei. Rava says, even though Reb Shimon says that in HaTorah there is no prohibition to eat chametz after Pesach, chametz that was owned by a Jew after Pesach is over, it's mutam in HaTorah, but in the Rabbanu there's a penalty. So we know that's the din, we know that's the halacha. Then the Gemara touches up the Mishnah a little bit. Whenever it says in the Mishnah a din, and it says shenemar, that means that it's a din min HaTorah. It says in the Pasuk, and that is the din. Whenever it says mishum shenemar, it means that it's a din of the Rabbanan based on the Pasuk. So the way the Mishnah reads on the Achtav Chesam and Aleph, it says chametz that was in the possession of a Jew during the duration of Pesach is also banra shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, le'yivar l'chassar. Le'yivar l'chassar means you're not allowed to hold it in your possession, but it doesn't say that it's also banra. So the Gemara touches up the Mishnah on Achtav Chesam and Aleph, they add on one word. It should say mishum shenemar, because it says in the Chumash, bal yirah b'yimotzei, you're not allowed to have chametz in your possession, and the Jew violated the din of Bal Yeroya, so therefore the rabbis made a penalty. They made a knas from the rabbanim. That's the Gemara. How do we paskin in this machlekes of Yudah Reb Shimon? So the Rambam has a famous, difficult psak. The Rambam splits the psak. The Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Gemara tells us in a few places that there are 613 mitzvahs, but the Gemara never gives us the full listing, which are the 613 mitzvahs. So the Rambam wrote the Sefer HaMitzvahs, where he tries to work out which are the 248 mitzvahs asay, which are the 365 mitzvahs lois asay. The Rambam was not the first one, and the Rambam was not the last one. There are many who disagree with the Rambam's listing. So the Rambam, from the three psukim that the Gemara says, it says three times, you're not allowed to eat chametz. So Rabbi Shimon says, it only goes on Pesach. You're not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach. Rabbi Yudah says, no, one lav goes on Pesach, one lav goes on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, the third lav goes on Chomet Sha'ova, all of HaPesach. So the Rambam splits the Pesach. From the three Pesukim, he counts two mitzvahs in the minyan of mitzvahs, and the third one not. Chomet B'Pesach is a lav. Chomet Erev Pesach after Chatzos is a lav. Whoever eats Chomet on Erev Pesach gets Malkus. Chomet Sha'ova, all of HaPesach is Mishum Shenemar. It's only a din midirabban, and it's not a din minator. So the commentaries on the Rambam, the Ravid and the Ramban and many others, they all list. How did the Rambam figure this one out? To split the Pesach? Two out of the three Tzukim count as a lav. Chometz Erev Pesach is an Issa lav, and Chometz Shavuot lav Pesach is only the Rabbanon. No one holds like that in the Gemara. So that's a problematic Rambam. The Gemara has a very fascinating story. It's worth going through on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells a story. It's about 10 lines from the top. You have the two dots, and then the Gemara starts, Omer Rav, Kederes B'Pesach Yishovru. If you have China dishes, you can't do Hagola, you can't kasher China. If you have metal pots and pans, so you can kasher them. If you have China dishes, so the Torah tells us that a Klicheres, a Hagola doesn't help. So Rav says, all of the Chometz Dike China dishes that you have, all the chametz dikah pots and pans that you have that are made from China, you have to smash them and throw them out every year when it comes Pesach. Why? Because they have a bli of chametz, and when Pesach comes, all the pots become treif, and you can't kasher them. So whatever you're going to cook after Pesach is going to have a bli of chametz over all of our Pesach. We don't do that. We don't throw out our China dishes every year. So how come we don't follow Rav? There is the Pesach Yishavru. The Gemara says you have to squish it. So the Gemara says, skip a few lines, two lines. Shmuel Amar, Rav Shmuel were contemporary. Shmuel disagrees with Rav. He says, La Yishavru, you don't, we follow Shmuel over here. You don't have to smash all the China dishes that are chametz stick. You save your China ware, your chametz stick and China dishes till after Pesach is over, and then you use it. So the Gemara says that there was an incident once. But as the Shmuel, skip another two lines, but as the Shmuel at Tamei, Shmuel is following, he's consistent in his opinion. There were merchants when it comes before Pesach, so everybody holds up the Jewish community. They start charging a fortune of money for the gefilte fish and for the chicken and for the flesh, everything, everybody charges. For the murder, everybody, the matzahs, everything costs a fortune. So in Rav's community, they used to have, Rav was the Mordasra, he was the rabbi, so he passed and all the balabatma have to throw out all the China dishes every year when it comes Pesach, because they all have a bli of chametz. And the chametz is going to become usr, even after chametz shavar la Pesach, and you can't kasha. So whatever you're going to cook later on, in whatever hot food you're going to put in the China dishes or the China pots and pans, going to become trey from the chametz shavar la Pesach bli. So the merchants used to come every year to sell new China dishes, and they used to charge outrageous prices. And they hold everybody up for a fortune of money here. So Shmuel was once visiting in Rav's community, and Shmuel didn't hold like that. Shmuel held that like we do. You don't have to throw out your pots and pans. So Shmuel warned the merchants, Oma Shmuel ha'no de mezabne kandi. Shmuel told the merchants who were selling all of the China, the new China ware, Ashvu zvine akadaycho, you better charge a normal rate. If you're going to hold the people up, you're going to charge too much money. The Eloi, if you're going to charge too much money, Darshina luchu ki Reb Shimon, I'll paskin in public that there's no problem at all, and no one has to buy any new dishes. So the Gemara explains what's going on over here. The Gemara says, one is not in violation of Bal Yerah by Matzeh if you have chametz dik kelim. In Europe, a lot of people have the practice, in America, forget about Europe, in America, a lot of people have the practice that they feel you have to sell the chametz to the non-Jew not to violate Bal Yerah by Matzeh. So they think they have to sell the chametz dik in pots and pans also. So the Gemara says, the Farish, that's not correct. There's no Easter Bal Yerah by Matzeh on chametz dik in pots and pans, on the bliya in the pot or in the dishes. If you have a chunk of spaghetti stuck on the outside of your pot, so that maybe if it's still edible, if it's roi l'achila, so there'll be a din of Bal Yerah by Matzeh on the spaghetti. Or if you have, let's say, a baking din, and you bake challah, so you bake cakes over there, and you have a chunk of challah, a chunk of cake stuck on the outside of the baking din, so that if it, and it's edible, if you have such a sloppy home with the chametz stuck, so there'll be Bal Yerah by Matzeh and the chametz that's stuck on the baking tin. But if you clean off the baking tin, clean off all the pots and pans, the only issue is that there's a bliya, there's a flavor of chametz in the pots. So the Gemara is beferish, there's no Bal Yerah by Matzeh on the bliya of chametz in the pots. In fact, in Europe, in America, a lot of people do, they insist they want to sell the pots and pans as well. So the Gdolim pointed out that if you sell your pots and pans to the Nochri and then you buy it back, so you have to do Tfilas Kelim all over again. If you have metal, if I buy metal silverware, a metal pots and pans, or even if I buy glassware from a non-Jew that was once owned by a non-Jew, so there's a mitzvah in the Chumash that you have to do Tfilas Kelim. You have to be tovel everything in the mikvah. So even if I had pots and pans all year long, silverware all year long, and I sell it to the Nochri for Pesach, then I buy it back 9 days later. So you have to be Tovel Kalim all over again. So the Gdolim warned that it's not a smart thing. You should not sell the pots and pans. If you're nervous that you may have specks of chametz on the outside, so see to it that you clean the pots better. And if you're still nervous, tell the Nochri that you're selling him the chametz that's stuck on the outside of the pots and pans, but you're not selling the pots themselves. So the Gemara says, there's no Bal Yerah by Matzeh on the bliya in the pot. Now the Shaila is, but there is a chametz diga bliya in the pot. Is the Easter of chametz she'ova all of HaPesach chal, does the Easter take effect on the bliya in the pot? So the Gemara says, well, it depends on the dispute between Reb Shimon and Reb Yudah. According to Reb Shimon's opinion, chametz she'ova all of HaPesach is a penalty with the Rabbanim because somebody violated Bal Yerah by Matzah. That's why he says it's only if the chametz was owned by a Jew. If the chametz was owned by a non-Jew, he didn't violate Bal Yerah by Matzah, so there's no penalty. So even if the chametz was owned by a Jew, But it's a bliya and a pot. So the Gemara says there's no bal yira bal yimotze on bliya on the flavor of the chametz that's balua in the pot. So then the pots after Pesach will be mutter. So Shmuel the Amora, Shmuel and Rav were chaverim. They both learned by Rabbi Yehuda Anasi in Eretz Yisrael, and then they both moved to Bavel, and each one went to a different community, and they established yeshivas. So Shmuel paskens like Reb Shimon. That's how we pasken. The chometz over olav haPesach is only forbidden with the Rabbanan as a penalty for having violated bal yira bal yimotze. So it doesn't apply to Blias Caleb, because chometz dikah patzim pians, there is no bal yira bal yimotze. So there's no issur chometz over olav haPesach. If one would have held like Rabbi Yehuda, Rav was the more the asra in that city. So Rav held the halachas like Rabbi Yehuda. If the din is like Rabbi Yehuda, that chometz over all of haPesach is an issur deraisa, unrelated to having violated by yirai by matz. Even if the chometz is owned by a non-Jew, all chometz in the world becomes osa b'achila b'hanu on Pesach. It becomes osa b'achila b'hanu al yoylam v'ed. Not only for the duration of the 7-8 days of Pesach, it's osa permanently. So if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that all chometz in the world becomes osa, even if you didn't violate by yirai by matzis, even the chametz dikah pots and pans become treifli oilon void. So you have to surrender, and you can't kasha them. So that's why Rav used to paskin for his balabatim every year when it comes Pesach. You don't have to throw out the kelim before Pesach. There's no by yirai and the chametz. There's no by yirai by matzis and the chametz dikah kelim. But after Pesach is over, you can't use the pots and the pans. You can't use the china dishes. So you have to throw everything out and start all over. So the Gemara says, Shmuel was visiting in Rav's community, and he saw the way the merchants were coming and holding up the whole community. They were charging an arm and a leg for the new china dishes. So Shmuel warned them privately. He said, you better not overcharge for the china dishes, otherwise I'm going to let it be known that I don't hold like Rav. The Gemara says Rav is the Mar Da'asra, so the Balabatim and his community have to follow his opinion. Shmuel is not allowed to come into Rav's community and say, I hold like the Tana Reb Shimon. He's not supposed to do that. But Shmuel saw that the merchants were holding up the balabatim. They were charging too much for the new china dishes. So he said, he warned them, you better charge a reasonable rate. If you're going to charge too much, I'm going to let it be known that I disagree with the local rabbi Rav. And even though the balabatim are supposed to follow their rabbi, but a lot of them will not follow their rabbi. They're going to know that there's another, I'm a prominent rabbi, they're going to know that I disagree with their rabbi. A lot of them will not buy new pots and pans. So I'm going to ruin your business. Even though it's going to be shaloi kedin, I'll ruin your business. So that's the way he kept the price down. This is a very important gemara. This gemara was taken out of context by the conservative movement. To demonstrate that the rabbis have the right to change the psak for economic reasons. It doesn't say that in the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says Shmuel was threatening the merchants who were overcharging the balabatim. He said, if you're going to charge too much, I'll let it be known. My opinion is, I hold like Reb Shimon, that Chomet Shavu La Pesach is only awesome with the Rabbanon because of a penalty for having violated by Yeroi, by Yimotzei. Whenever you're dealing with Blias Kalim, there is no Bal Yirai. So then there's no need to buy, that's how we pass this, and there's no need to buy new dishes after Pesach is over. And the Balabatim are not supposed to listen to Shmuel, but Shmuel said, some of the Balabatim will listen to me, Shaloi Kedin. They're supposed to follow their Mardasra. Some of them will listen to me. So he said he was threatening the merchants that he's going to ruin their business if they're going to overcharge. This is the din of chometz over all of haPesach. Yeah. So chometz, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, chometz over all of haPesach is really macholas hasuris. It's treif for food. Sometimes there is a din we're not allowed to eat food, but it's not that the food is treif. Take for example, if a non-Jew, let's say my next door neighbor is not Jewish, and I see the way he takes a brand new baking tin and he bakes bread. And I see all the ingredients are kosher. So the Chachamim were concerned about intermarriage. Intermarriage was always a problem, from not only in America, it's always a problem throughout all the generations. So the Chachamim introduced Gzeiros from the Rabbanon. So they said, we're not permitted to eat pasakum, bread that's baked by the next door neighbor, by a non-Jew. If the bread is baked by a baker, and the whole community buys that bread, so the practice by the Ashkenazim is that we're lenient on that. Because why should I fall in love with his daughter and marry her? He begs for the whole community. So Mr. Amma, one of the non-Jewish boys will marry his daughter. But if he's my next door neighbor, and there's more friendship over here, and he's baking the bread. So then, by my eating the bread, it may possibly lead to intermarriage. So they prohibited pasachim, they prohibited bishalachim. Let's say my next door neighbor is cooking food, and it's delicious. He cooks very well, and I know that all the ingredients are kosher and the pot is kosher. So there's no chashash of treifas, but still there's a chashash that it may lead to intermarriage. So the rabbis prohibited bishalachim. The rabbis were concerned that if I'll drink wine that was processed by a non-Jew, so I may enjoy the wine so much, I may marry his daughter. So that's why they prohibited stam yenim. You're not allowed to drink wine. I may want to marry his daughter and have a life supply of this delicious wine. So that was the reason why the rabbis prohibited, that was the main reason why they prohibited the wine that's manufactured by the non-Jew. So they prohibited pasachim and bishalachim. So in Shulchan Aruch there's a dispute. Let's say a little bit of bishalachim gets mixed in with other food. Do you need shishim? Whenever any, let's say, a little non-kosher schmaltz falls into a pot of kosher soup, so you have to have shishim. If you have less than shishim, so we say it's still nice and tam. I can still taste the flavor of the treifa chazer schmaltz that fell in. So this din of tam ki ikir, if I can still taste the flavor of the non-kosher ingredient that fell in, that's only a din by macholas hasuris. If you're talking about food, that's also b'achilah. So the accepted opinion in Shulchan Aruch is that pasachim, bread that was baked by a non-Jew, or bishalachim, food that was cooked by a non-Jew, you're not allowed to eat it because it may lead to intermarriage. But it's not really that the food is not kosher. That's like, let's say a Jew will date a non-Jewish girl, he'd take her out to a restaurant, go dancing with her. He'll hug her, kiss her, go there. It's not macholas hasuris. It's a prohibition that it's probably going to lead to intermarriage, but it's not that the food is non-kosher. We say you shouldn't eat the food that's cooked by a non-Jew because it may lead to intermarriage. So that's why we pass on the Shulchan Aruch. The accepted opinion is that you don't need shishim over there. If the bishalachim or the pasachim gets mixed in with kosher food, the din is that it's batel bereif. The din of tam ki ikar, that if the non-kosher ingredient leaves a flavor, it leaves an asinus tam, that you're not allowed to eat the kosher food unless you have shishim, that only applies if you have macholas hasuris. So that's why here you have a sheet, a page from the Mishnah Brura. So it says on the top of the page, it's page 56, in that volume of the Mishnah Brura, volume 5. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, on the top line, that if you have chomitsha over all of HaPesach, that got mixed in with kosher food, so it's bottled b'shishim. So the Mishnah Berurah has a long footnote there, and ois kufhei, someone underlined part of it, that this is really a machlokes whether you need shishim or not. So me'ikar adin, we really paskin that roiv is enough. If you have chomitsha over all of HaPesach, there's a penalty because a Jew violated by matzei. So the rabbis introduced the penalty that it should be osamando. The main penalty was to the Jew who violated Bal Yerua by Matzah. We want to penalize him. But if we'll just penalize him, and we'll say it's mutabano to other people, so the wise guy will sell it to someone else, and then they'll eat it, and then at the end of the day, he won't lose out, so there won't be any penalty. So they said, not only is it osamano to him, it's osamano to all the Jews. No one's allowed to get anor. But basically, it's not really macholas hasuris. If the din would have been like Reb Yudah, the chomitz over all of HaPesach is an Issa Deraisa. What you're saying is that chomitz becomes macholas hasuris. When it comes to Pesach, all chomitz in the world becomes treif, period. And not only for the duration of the 7-8 days of Pesach, it becomes also b'achila b'anoa, li'olam v'od. But we don't pass like Reb Yudah, we pass like Reb Shimon. The chomitz over all HaPesach is only a penalty midirabbanan. So you're not allowed to get hanoa from it, but it's not that it's a cheftz of macholas hasuris. So strictly speaking, it really should be batel bereif, we shouldn't need shishim. So the Shulchan Aruch adopted the stringent opinion that you do need shishim. So the Mishnah Berurah concludes at the end of Ois Kufay, because for Achreinim, the B'makam Hefzed Meruba or B'Shas Hatchak Yesh Lismach LaHakel, that Roiv is sufficient, that you don't need shishim. Sometimes in rare cases we would be Mekel. Sometimes you have a situation like that. It's interesting, where did the Gemara get this idea from? This Gemara in Daf Lamed Amud Aleph from Sochem. Where did the Gemara get this idea that all of the China dishes, all the chametz dikah China dishes, if the din would have been like Reb Yudah, which it isn't, if the din would have been like Reb Yudah, the chametz shavur la'pesach is not a penalty. All chametz in the world becomes osa v'achila. See, even chametz dikah dishes become treif. Where did they get that idea from? So the Chazon Ish points out, they got it from this week's parsha, from Parshas Tzav. It says in the Chumash that when you bring a korban chatos, a korban oshem, so the kohanim have to eat the flesh from the chatos and the oshem. It's a kachim kachim. Only kohanim, only zichri kuhuna, only male kohanim are permitted to eat bisar chatos in bisar ha-oshem. So let's say you have a basar, you can only eat it yom v'laylo at chatzos. You can only eat it that day and tonight. You can't save it over till tomorrow. If you leave it over till tomorrow morning, it becomes noisar and it's an isar kares. If you eat the leftover chatos and oshem tomorrow morning. So the posuk says, let's say the kohen cooked, fried, baked, whatever. He cooked the chatos and the oshem in a pan, and then he serves it to all the zichri kuna and the azara, and they finish eating it, and they wash out the pot and the pan in which it was cooked, and everything is spick and span, everything is clean, and there's no mashahu left on the surface of the kli. It's not good, so what's the problem? So the Chumash says you have to kasha the pot. Why do you have to kasha the pot? There's nothing treif about it. So the Chumash says because the chatos is balua, the flesh from the chatos and the oshem is balua in the pot. When it comes tomorrow morning, alois ha-shachar, the isa noisa will be chal on the bli in the pot. So you see that an isa can be chal not only on a piece of flesh of a chatos and oshem that's sitting on the table or sitting in the refrigerator, even if you already ate up all the flesh from the chatos and the oshem, all you have left is the bliya of the flesh into the pot and the pan in which it was cooked. So the bliya will have the isa, noisa will be chal on a bliya. So the Chazon Ish says, from that parsha, so the Torah says you have to kasha the pot. That's Mariko Shtifa. This week's parsha Tzav. That's why the minig is we always see to it. It says in Shulchan Aruch, we always see to it that we read parsha Tzav soon before Pesach, either the Shabbos before, the second Shabbos before, because it has about kashering the pots and the pans and parsha Tzav. So we want to announce that everyone should kasha the pots to the Kodesh Pesach. So that's where the Gemara got the Seinfeld from. That according to Rav paskins like Rav Yudah, the chomitcha over all of our Pesach is a biblical prohibition. It's an isa deraisa. It's not a penalty with the rabbanah for having violated by your rabbi mat. It's an isa deraisa. So even on a bliya, if I have chomitz dike china dishes, and there's no bayirah at all, I have no chomitz stuck to the surface. Only a bliya of chomitz balua absorbed into the kelim. So there's no violation of bayirah at all. Nonetheless, the isa chametz will be chal on the china dishes, and you have to throw them out after Pesach. You can't use them again. You have to throw them all out. The mazel is we don't paskel like Rav. We don't paskel like Rav Yudah. We paskel like Rav Shimon. The chametz shavur la Pesach is only a penalty with the rabbanon in the situation where the person has violated bayirah by yamatz. It's interesting in Europe in the late 1800s, in the early 1900s. Many Jews were losing their religious observance. So the Gedolim had this big issue that they were discussing. What's the story with Chametz over all of HaPesach that was owned by the non-observant Jews? Many of the non-religious Jews owned factories. Apparently the schnapps industry must have been controlled or must have been owned only by non-observant Jews. So that's what they all discuss. What are we going to do? All the schnapps in the world is owned by Jews who don't sell a chametz. So it's a penalty of chametz over all of our pesach. So what do we do? So it's interesting, if you take a look in these longer sheets, there's a tshuva here by Rab David El Karlina. Rab David Friedman, who was the rabbi in Karlin. So he has in his Shelas David, he was a very original thinker. All of the Gedolim thought he was the greatest, he was the biggest genius. From all the Gedolim that they knew, Rav David El Karlina was the greatest. Chaim Moisey used to think very highly of him. Chaim Soloveitchik thought, they all thought he was a goyin ha-goyin. So he was a very original thinker, putting it like that. Okay. So he has came up with wild ideas every so often. So here he has this Shaila in Simon Hay in the Shaila's David. Shaila is the schnapps factory is owned by a non-observant Jew that doesn't sell us chametz. So what's going to be? Everything is going to be chametz she'oval about Pesach. So some of the Gedolim came up with the following suggestion. There is a tshuva by the Rivosh where he discusses. The Rivosh was in the days of the Ran, days of the Rishonim. So the Rivosh discusses schnapps. Let's say if you have some trefe schnapps and you distill it. So how do you distill it? First you evaporate it. I think the temperature for evaporation for alcohol, I think, is 50 degrees centigrade. And the temperature for evaporation of water is 100 degrees. But by us in Fahrenheit, it's 212 degrees. So alcohol evaporates at a lower heat. So if you have wine, and you don't want all the rest of the wine, you just want the alcohol. So if you heat it to 50 degrees centigrade, so only the alcohol will evaporate, and the rest of the wine you don't want, that will stay behind. So you'll heat it till the alcohol evaporates, and then you'll cause the alcohol to condense. So it'll be left with pure alcohol. That's schnapps. That's what brandy is. That's what brandy and cognac. You start off with wine, and then you distill the wine, and you're left the alcohol that's in the wine will first evaporate, turn into steam, and then it'll be converted back into liquid form. Thank you very much. So there was a discussion in the days of the Rosh already. Maybe this should be mutter, since when you evaporated it and it's in the form of steam, so it's not edible. You can't eat steam. So even later on, when it's condensed and the steam turns back into liquid, and now you have pure alcohol, since it underwent a change in the middle state, when it was in the state of steam, it was inedible, so maybe it remains mutter li'olamot. So the Rivash discusses this. Some of the poskim say this is a shaila, a machlokes, so they would make a compromise. If you're dealing with an isa deraisa, they would be machmir on any trefa food, any trefa beverage that was distilled. And if you'd be dealing with an isa derabbanan, they would be mekel. They said sveika derabbanan l'kula. This is what the Acharonim coined the term. They call this zeya bi'alma, zeya in the sense of evaporation. The Gemara talks about zeya bi'alma. The Gemara means a totally different thing. The Gemara talks about squeezing out juice from fruits other than olives and grapes. The Gemara says all the juice that you squeeze out from other fruits, zeya bi'alma, doesn't have the din of the pri itself. That's the expression as it appears in the Gemara in different places. But when the Acharonim use the expression zeya bi'alma, they mean the distillation process. So because it was a machlokes, and many were of the opinion that it's a suffik and din, so on. And this is the rise. Let's say if you have chametz dika schnapps, so all chametz dika schnapps should be mutter to eat on Pesach. What's the problem? It's made from grain that you soak in water, you cook the grain in water for a long time, and it soaks in water, becomes chametz, so what? But since you evaporate it, and then you condense it again, so when it's evaporated, it's in a state of form, it's in the form of steam. So you can't have an isar on steam, you can't have an isar on air. If the chametz turns into air, so there's no isar to breathe in the air through your mouth, it's not royal achila. So even after you condense it again, it turns back into a beverage. So there were those who said that it's mutter. So we say like that, so all schnapps the Pesach would be mutter. So with respect to an isar deraisa, well, not mekel, with respect to chametz she'avar al habat Pesach, it's only a penalty min rabbanon. So there were those who said lahakil, that on zeh b'yamal is room to be mekel. So all of these gedolim that we're going to be mentioning today, nobody liked that hetter. Other svarim have that hetter. The chametz shal about Pesach, there's room to be mekel on schnapps. Rav Chaim Oizer writes that there were those who had the practice that they would buy regular brandy or cognac in Europe, otherwise religious Jews who wore talis and tefillin, they kept Shabbos and kashrus and taras hamishpacha, but they would buy goyish brandy and goyish cognac. Goyish brandy cognac is straight wine. It's just that the wine was distilled. So they took out the alcohol content of the wine. They left behind the wine. So Reb Chaim Oizer says, it's mamish tam yenam. It's asa. And the reason why these religious Jews had the practice of drinking it, because tam yenam, wine that's manufactured by non-Jews, is only prohibited midirabbanon. So they were mekel, that's Deir B'Alma, distilled anything that was distilled. And an isa derabbanon, there's room to be mekel. And an isa deraisa, you should be machmir. So Rav Chaim Oizer recommends you shouldn't use that hetter. He thinks that it's not legitimate today. I think Jews are more knowledgeable. I think the religious Jews are more knowledgeable today. They know that cognac and brandy needs a hechsher, because it's made from mamish, from trefa wine, from goyisha wine. So the distillation process is not enough to be matirit. A lot of people don't realize what is the bracha for cognac and brandy. That's Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank writes, that it's regular wine. Some wine, the bracha is bar piagofen. So if you have wine that was, you cooked it, and you changed it, and it's inferior in its present state, it's not as good as it was before. Let's say, if you take potatoes and you eat raw potatoes, so the bracha is shahat on the abedura, because that's not normal to eat raw potatoes. If you cook the potatoes and you eat it, that's the way normal people eat it. So you say bar pi hadam. Let's say you have an orange. People eat an orange, a raw orange in America. So you say bar pi hoetzan an orange. If you cook the orange, it doesn't taste as good cooked as it did when it was raw. So since you cooked it and it's nishtana, it's changed in its garua, it's nishtana ligabiusa, it doesn't taste as good now as it did before. So then it's considered a synthetic food. And on synthetic foods, it's shahakal niyabidwar. So if you would eat a cooked orange in America, when the meaning is that we eat raw oranges, you eat a cooked orange in America, the bracha will be shahakal because it's a shtana ligriyusa. It's a shinoi, underwent a shinoi, and it's inferior to its original state. So that's a shala. What bracha do you say on cognac and on brandy? Is that, it's nishtana. The wine originally had only so much alcohol, and now has much more. So this is called nishtana for the better or for the worse. So which is it? So they charge much more money for the cognac and the brandy. Obviously, people enjoy it much better. So that's considered ishtana le'mal yusa. That's not ishtana ligri yusa. So that's Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank quotes Rav Yankee Fenner, that the bracha on cognac and brandy should be bar pi agafen. It's not shahakal ni'imidvara. Bracha on schnapps, maybe a shahakal, maybe mezainus. A different question what the bracha on schnapps should be when it's made from grapes. But the bracha on cognac and brandy is regular bar pi agafen. One of the Gedolim in Europe before the Second World War wrote a tshuva, what about on sparkling wine that has the bubbles in it, that's ishtani. So one of them thought that this is ishtani ligriyusa, so sparkling wine should be shahakal. So the other said, the Gedolim said, what are you talking about? They charge more money for it. Obviously it's ishtani limayusa, it's better. The people are prepared to pay more money. So it retains the bracha, it remains boripyagofen, doesn't become shahakal. It's not considered a synthetic food. So some gedolim were makel on the chametz she'avah lo haPesach in Europe in the early 1900s, the late 1800s, early 1900s. All the schnapps companies were owned by non-observant Jews who were mumrim. They didn't keep mitzvahs at all, so they didn't sell the chametz. Weren't interested in selling the chametz. So some said there's room to be makel because of the distillation process. Shvache heter because we don't rely on that distillation kula, not to drink cognac and brandy without a hashgacha. And so on. It's a shvache heter. So that's why they had to come up with other tzedarim lahakos. Rav David Kalina was a very original thinker. So he comes up with the following. He says, who is the owner of the schnapps company? He writes here on page. What page is this? Page 20. It says on top, page 20, Simen Hei. So he writes in the paragraph, Hineho Yisr Shech Mir Chazal. So he says, if it would be chometz that was owned by a non-Jew during the course of Pesach, so chametz she'avah olav haPesach that belonged to a non-Jew is mutar b'hanor. So he says this fellow is Jewish, but he doesn't come to shul Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. He doesn't keep anything. So there's a din that a mumer is dina ka'akum. A Jew who doesn't keep any mitzvahs at all is treated like a non-Jew. So that but mumer treated like non-Jew, can I sell my chametz to him? Can I use him as my Shabbos guy? No, we only treat him as a non-Jew. Lahachmer, if he shechts a behema, so the shechita is in a veil. But you don't treat him like a non-Jew lahakel. So he gives a whole presentation, wild presentation. And he says, we even sometimes treat him dinu kenochri, even lahakel. Even though the reason doesn't apply. Here, the whole reason why chomet shal nochri sha'ova olava pesach is mutter, because the nochri hasn't violated by your rabbi matzvah. Here the person is Jewish, so he did violate by your rabbi matzvah. So he wants to demonstrate, and he does demonstrate a little bit, that even when the reason for the distinction between the Jew and the non-Jew doesn't apply, we still apply the klal that a mumer is dina ka'akum, so we should permit drinking the schnapps that belong to the non-observant Jew, because it's considered chomet shal nochri sha'ova olav haPesach. He realizes himself that this is a wild suggestion. He writes on page 22, if you have this, the Shelas David, on the top of the first column. He says, on the second line, Im yaskimu imi gedoli Yisrael, if other Rabbanim will agree with me. No one agreed. If other rabbans will agree with me, he was a very original thinker. Most of the time they didn't agree with a lot of the things that he said. I remember when I was Talmud in the yeshiva, Rav Mendel Zaks was the son-in-law of the Chavetz Chaim, was the boychein in the yeshiva. So I don't remember how the discussion came up at all. I remember he said, Rav David Al-Karlina writes, he never looks in Achrayim. He never looks at it. He writes, doesn't have a Shagasariya in the city. Doesn't have any of Achrayim. So he says, Kasherosu Kenya Asalah. He says, he doesn't look at Achrayim. He's one of the Achrayim. So we don't look in his son. He says, the meaning is we don't look in Rav David Al-Karlina. No one ever... It was a goyin, but he lost out. It was a little too original. So he writes, if other gedolim will agree with me, etol shiva mikshure, that's the expression that the Gemara has. When you carry a big beam, so it's very heavy, so you need a lot of people to carry the beam. So he says, I will carry the burden on my shoulders if others will join along with me to accept this hefter. The hefter is there, but he says, but if other rabbanim and I'll agree, is nishgizah. So forget about what I said. My head is nishgizah. So the ma'aser, no one ever agreed with him on this. So that sad lahakal was scratched. So then he has another sad lahakal. The very next paragraph, he starts off od shual kvot harasai, and this suggestion appears as well by Rabitza le Petterburger. Rabbi Yitzchak Petterburger was also Rabbi Yitzchak Rabinowitz. He was the Rosh Yeshiva and part of his yeshiva. Rabbi Yitzchak Panavision. Rabbi Yitzchak Panavision. So he was also very, very original, extremely original thinker. The Gedolim used to say in Europe it's good to say Shiurim, but not to Paskan Halacha L'Maaseh. And they said you're not allowed to follow anything that he says Halacha L'Maaseh. So he has, but over here, because he was so respected, so he, with Rav David Al-Karlina, with another one, I'll soon show you in a minute, they all came up with the same idea, that the Gemara says that the Chometz, She'ova Olav HaPesach, was only instituted, this Knas was only instituted, if the Chometz is Bien. If the Chometz is there, it's in a mixture, and more than 50% of, let's see, have bread, cake, or cookies, spaghetti, something like that. That's mamish chametz. What if it's chametz is an ingredient in a food, and it's less than 50%? So we read from the Mishnah Brura that there's a machlekes where the nitshishim, a rov is sufficient. So Mikra, then rov is enough, and if you have a big shas hadchak, you make all the rov is enough. So they all have the following idea. If you have a corporation that's owned b'shutzvus by Jews and non-Jews together. So, before you get to a corporation, let's say you have a corporation. So, let's say there's a schnapps, there's a corporation owns a schnapps business. So, and there are Jews and non-Jews own shares in the corporation. So does that mean that the Jews own a share in the chametz? They're shutvim in the chametz? So the Jewish person who has shares in the corporation will be in violation of Bal Yira by Matze? Or do you say, no, the corporation owns the chametz. It's a dummy corporation. And the Jew owns a share in the corporation, but the Jew doesn't really own the chametz. So legally, strictly speaking, the Jew does not own the chametz. But this is a question whether the halacha recognizes this fine point. This is an international law. This is a new concept that's accepted all over the world, international law, that the dummy corporation owns the chametz, not the shareholders. The halacha does recognize such a concept. The halacha recognizes that tzedakah owns money, or a shul owns something, or hegdish owns something. So tzedakah is just a corporation. Hegdish owns something doesn't mean that the Ribbono Shel Olam owns it. Hegdish is a chaloshein bailus, it's a corporation. So the Gedolim had a machlokes, do we only recognize such a chaloshein bailum, such a corporation, only by those cases? Tzedakah, hegdish, Beis HaKnesses, it doesn't belong to any specific person. It belongs to the tzedakah, the Beis HaKnesses. Or do we say no? Whenever the deed of the Mahusa has it, that whenever you make a corporation, the chametz is really owned, let's say you talk about chametz is really owned by the corporation, not owned by the people, by the shareholders, so maybe the halacha should recognize that. So that's a big issue. That's a very broad issue. Let's say whenever you buy pots and pans or silverware that once belonged to a non-Jew, so you have to be tovel lekelim and mitzvah tefilas kelim. What if the silverware or the pots and pans were owned by a corporation? was it, do you say that the shareholders and the corporation really own the pots and the pans? So these pots and pans were once owned by a non-Jew. So you have to be Tov 11 and say a bracha. Or do you say no? It was owned by the corporation. Corporation is a dummy corporation. It's not a person at all. It's a Chal Hashem Bailus. So there's no need for Tfilas Kelim. So this was a big machlokes in Europe. Do we recognize this concept? We recognize the concept by Tzedakah and by Hekdesh that there's such a thing as a corporation owning Bailus, but do we recognize it in every case of every corporation that the person doesn't really own the Kelim? So there are those who are always Tevel a Kelim B'li Bracha, because it's a Safek, a Sveka the Dina. That maybe the Kelim never belonged to a non-Jew at all. It was owned by a corporation. It was just a Chal Hashem Bailim. So by Chometz, there were those who were prepared to be Mekel, that if the Chometz was owned by a corporation, so it doesn't really mean that it was owned by the Jew. It was owned by the corporation. So these Gedolim were not prepared to be Mekel based on that. But they have the following. If the Jews' share in the corporation that manufactures the schnapps is less than 50%, so then they say that, strictly speaking, Chometz b'Pesach is bottled b'roiv. With respect to the din of Chometz she'ovah olav ha'Pesach, the Chometz shel nachri, the Chachamim never made a penalty. The goy never violated the Balyor by Matzah. The Chometz shel nachri is butamano. Only the Chometz shel Yisrael is osav ano. Chometz shel Yisrael is less than 50% in the mixture. So that's what they say, that Chometz shel Yisrael will be bottled b'roiv if 51% of the shares of the corporation run by the non-Jew. There's a tshuva here on the first page in this section. Aryeh Debei Eloi. Aryeh Debei Eloi is a tshuva sefer by a Talmud of the Ktzos HaChoshen. He was the father-in-law of the Shinever, of the Divrei Yecheskel. So he, in Siman Vav, he discusses this topic. So that's what he writes in the first column. And he goes on a long, long, long tshuva, around 20 pages long, to farem for all the kashas against this. He says the same, they all three say the same thing. It's a very wild idea that if less than 50% of the shares of the corporation are owned by Jews, it's considered as if the Chometz shel Yisrael, which became Osav Ano, was bottled b'roiv. And we rely on the shitas that bittul b'roiv would be sufficient. Very questionable heter. One of the rabbanim from the OU once discussed this with Rabbi Soloveitchik. He was very upset about this. But when they showed him that Rabbi Tzela Panavizhe says it, Rabbi Tzela Panavizhe was held in such high esteem, the Zecha Yitzchak was held in such high esteem by so many Rabbanim, so he said, okay, so you can rely on this, v'shas hadchak, you can rely on Rabbi Tzela Panavizhe. But they all say the same thing, it's very interesting. Many have a practice not to rely on Mechiras Chometz for real cake and cookies and Chometz. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to encourage people to be machmer for this, not only to the students in the yeshiva, even to the balabatim. To the balabatim, he gave a shiur in New York for balabatim, in the Maria Synagogue, and he used to give a shiur for balabatim in Boston. He always used to encourage all the balabatim also to be machmer for this. Why? This is based on a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi, that we don't. This is an act of ha'arama. This is what we call in English a legal fiction. It's legal, but it's a legal fiction. I sell a chametz to the non-Jew, then I buy it back, and I made a dreidel. So legally, I didn't violate by yiroi by matzah. So legally, the chametz doesn't become matzah b'ano. But the whole thing is a harama. It's a legal fiction. So the Yerushalmi has a comment on the Mishnah Maseches Ma'aseh Sheni. The Torah says whenever a person is paid his own a farmer in Eretz Yisrael. Anything that grows in Eretz Yisrael, fruits, vegetables, grain, bebalach, whatever grows, has a din of tevel. You're not allowed to eat anything unless you mafrish trumas and maisras. So there's a 7-year cycle, the Shemitah cycle. So the first 2 years after you take out the truma and the maisarish, you have to take out maisar sheni. So the maisar sheni is supposed to either bring to Yerushalayim and eat it there, b'kedusha v'tahara. Now there's no beis hamikdash, you can't eat the maisar sheni in Yerushalayim, so you have to be paida. So the din is when the farmer is paid his own maaser sheni, when I'm paid to someone else's maaser sheni, so I just have to give the value of the maaser sheni. When the farmer is paid his own maaser sheni, he has to be maaser chaymish. He has to add on 25% in addition. That's what the Chumash calls a chaymish, by us, that's what we would translate as 25% extra. So the Mishnah tells you how to avoid adding on the Chumash. There's a perek. Ketzav marimim ala ma'aseh sheni livdosa b'lo Chumash. How can you use a legal fiction to be paid in the ma'aseh sheni and save yourself in the Tosefes Chumash? So the Yerushalmi comments on that Mishnah, Maseches Ma'aseh Sheni, this is the one and only place in Kol HaTorah Kula that the Torah permits a person to use a legal fiction to avoid payment adding on of the Chumash. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Ki yivarechecha Hashem alakecha, if the farmer is so far away from Yerushalayim, and the farmer was blessed with such a bountiful year, he has so many payers, and it's going to be so expensive for him to bring all the payers to Yerushalayim, he's going to lose money by transporting everything to Yerushalayim and bringing the whole family to Yerushalayim in order to eat it. Ki yivarechecha Hashem alakecha, ki lo suchal se'esa, you'll have so much. So the Torah gives you a kula. We allow you to be paid in the Ma'aseh Sheni and take the money to Yerushalayim and buy Nasata Kesa, Babaka, Batzana, Bayayin, and Mashecha. So because the Pasuk says, Ki Varechecha Hashem Alakecha, Bracha Ksivba, so from the Mashmas of the Pasuk, it appears that you're permitted to use a legal fiction over here. So Yerushalmi says that this is the only place where the Halacha permits you to use such a legal fiction. So based on that Yerushalmi, there were many Gedolim who were opposed to Mechiras Chametz. If you have Mechiras Chametz and the Chametz ingredient, the Chametz component, is less than 50% in the mixture, so then we rely on the Rabbi Natan, whose opinion is that the Bal Yerah Bai Motzeh there would only be Midirabbanan, Antaruv is Chametz. So since the whole Bal Yerah is only Midirabbanan, so then we permit you, Lechatchila, to do an act of Harama, to sell the Chametz to the non-Jew. But if the Chametz component, the Chametz ingredient, is more than 50%, cake and cookies, no, bread, chalas, spaghetti, this kind of stuff, so then it's for sure, so the whole thing is chametz. Way more than 50% is chametz, so that's chametz b'en. So you're dealing with an issue of Bal Yerah Bai Motzeh Deraisa, so then according to the Yerushalmi, it's not proper to rely on any haroma. It's not proper. The author of the Nesivos, who lived, he was a contemporary of Rabbi Kivega in the early first half of the 1800s, has a collection of tshuvas, Nachlas Yaakov. So this is the first tshuva in his sefer, and he disagrees with the others. He sent a tshuva to the Rav in Buchach in Galitzi. He says, well, it's Hakstat Shining, don't give me about you Yerushalmi, the Bavli never said it, according to the Bavli is Mutna, forget it. You want to be Machma for yourself, but my psak has been accepted all over Europe, so don't, there ain't Minishkin Cup. So he says that it's mutter. He's not concerned about that. But there are many Rav Soloveitchik used to encourage people to, even the Balabatim. Now sometimes he would encourage boys in the yeshiva to observe certain chumras, but he wouldn't tax the Balabatim. This chumra, he thought was proper to be mefarsim by the Balabatim also, that they should avoid selling chumras bien, not to rely on mechiras chumras. Yes, so what happens if a person did rely on mechiras chumras on chumras bien? So that's not, you wouldn't say that b'diyebed it's going to be usher. No, this is a din l'chatchila. The Achreinim came up with this Yerushalmi, l'chatchila. It's not proper to do an act of harama on an issue deraisa when you're dealing with chametz, with Bal Yerah Bai Motzeh deraisa. But b'diyebed, if someone did sell a chametz, no one would be machmer in such a situation, as long as the mechiras chametz was valid. Moshe Feinstein is quoted as having pointed out that if a Jew owns an insignificant share in a chametz company, so he thought there's the big debate whether the halacha recognizes the concept of corporations or not. We recognize the concept by tzedakah, by hegdish, but do we recognize it by every instance, every case of the corporation? We say that the dummy corporation owns the chametz, not the private people. So Rav Moshe holds not so. And Moshe holds that the halacha does not recognize corporations, and the chametz is really owned by the person himself. But he was of the opinion that's only by medva mamurim, that's only if you have a significant share in the corporation. You have 20%, you have 15%. But if you have less than 1%, you have some insignificant amount. So when the person buys a share in the corporation, he doesn't have das koine. He doesn't really have a mind to become a shutif to own the chametz or the schnapps or whatever it is that they're doing over there. He treats it as an investment. The people who buy shares and then they sell the shares, they buy and they sell, they buy and they sell. So they just have in mind that they're making an investment over here which is going to yield profit over the course of the year. So he says, since there's a lack of das kaina, so strictly speaking, there shouldn't even be any chiyuv. Let's say, if you have a bakery, or you have a Yiddish shutif, is there an obligation to be mafrish challah? So if they make so much dough at one time that the share that the Jew is a shutef in, it's enough to be, most of the shutfim are non-Jews. Let's say one of the shutfim is Jewish, and if you have, let's say, 5 pounds of flour, that's owned percentage-wise, that amount of flour is owned by the Jew, so then there should be a chiv to be mafrish challah. So Moshe Feinstein is of the opinion it's such an, if the Jew owns an insignificant share, let's say a lot of times the lawyer, the Jewish lawyer for the non-Jewish bakery, gets a fixed salary plus he gets a certain percentage of the rebach of the business. That was the agreement that they made in advance. So if he's a shutef in the business, if he has a share in the corporation, that's part of his salary, so then there may sometimes be a chiyuv chala. So Moshe Feinstein is of the opinion that with respect to chalas chutz la'aretz, since there are so many kulis in the Gemara, so he thought if the Jewish lawyer has such an insignificant share, he doesn't really have in mind that he wants to become a shutef. He has in mind that it's like an investment, and he thought for chalas chutz la'aretz he can be mekel. The same thing for chometz shavuot or pesach. It's only a penalty mid the Rabbanan, that's not a din min haTorah. So if the Jews only own an insignificant share, he was of the opinion that there shouldn't be a problem of chometz shavuot or pesach. In the northeastern section of the United States, we have a specific problem. Many of the distributors to the big grocery stores are Jewish. They buy up all the Wheaties from Kellogg's, from all the big companies, and then they go and they distribute it to all the little grocery stores. Kellogg's doesn't send it directly to the grocery store. Kellogg sends it to it, sells everything to a distributor. Then the distributor spends his time, he gets a commission, he gets a percentage, and he sells it to the little stores. So in the New England area, the northeastern area of the United States, many of the distributors are Jewish. So you have a big problem of chametz shavuot or pesach because they don't sell the chametz at all. So you have the problem of chametz shavuot or pesach. And the Zecher Yitzchak in this tshuva, He quotes from the Tosefta on page Chav Beis, if you want to take a look, on page Chav Beis here, he quotes from the Tosefta Maseches Psochim that the din is that Chometz Shavuot LaPesach is only an Issa de Rabbanon. So whenever there's a Sofik, whenever you're not sure, let's say there's a Jewish store, you don't know whether he had this Chometz on Pesach or he only bought the Chometz after Pesach. Maybe nobody violated by your Rabbi Matzah. So whenever there's a Sofik, a 50-50 Sofik, so then the din is a suffering the Rabbanu Lekuli. You have a right to go Lehokel. But he quotes a Tosefta, and that's the case by us also. A lot of times, for a solid month after Pesach, you don't even have a suffering. The likelihood is that it is Chometz Shavuot LaPesach. You have to wait sometimes, if the Tosefta says. We know from experience here in the New York area, in this area over here, that a lot of times you have to wait a month till Lag BaOmer, so till a month after Pesach, that it should be a suffik. Maybe the chametz in the store is no longer chametz shavuot LaPesach. Once you have a suffik, 50-50 suffik, so then there's room to be mekel. But within the first month after Pesach, a lot of times everything is a badai chametz shavuot LaPesach, because the distributors are Jewish and you have the problem. One has to be careful. We always have to be careful, at least to have a suffik, to permit this issue of chametz over all of HaPesach. When the Gedolim in Europe were debating the corporation that was owned partially by the Jews, so some of the Gedolim, not in the Tshuvas that I presented here, some of the other Gedolim came up with another Tzad L'Hokel, which is very interesting, but it's not Muskam L'Chol HaDeis. The Ramban, in his commentary on Chumash as well as on the Gemara, seems to assume that in order to be a full owner of a property, you need Shaloh U'Birshuso. Let's say, I own an automobile, and someone stole my automobile, I don't know where in the world it is. Granted, someone did steal my automobile a couple of years ago, and they parked it in the backyard of the local church down Bennett Avenue, a couple of blocks away from my home. So if I own some property and I don't know where in the world it is because somebody stole it, that's called Shali, the Ein Bishusi. So the Gemara has a Machloikas HaTanoim and a Machloikas HaMaroim, and we pass in that if something is Shali, I don't have access to it. I own it, but I don't have full access to it. So I'm not considered the full owner. And with respect to different dinim, I can't sell it, and I can't be Magdish, and I can't be Machkirit, and I can't be Bayit HaMa'aseh Sheni, and so on. So the Ramban, in his commentary on Chumash, as well as his commentary on the Gemara, claims that in order to violate Val Yirah by Matzi HaChometz, you have to have the Chometz, not only a Shali, it has to be Bershusa, you have to have access to it. So that's what some of the Gedolim said, fine. The halacha considers a shareholder in a corporation as if he owns the chametz. The halacha doesn't recognize the dummy ownership of the dummy corporation. We consider it as if all the shareholders own the chametz. But can I walk into the schnapps factory and say, I'm a 5% shutef and I want to take a couple of bottles of schnapps? I can't walk in and take anything. So true, the chametz is shali, but it's absolutely ain't a bishusi. You have to have a whole meeting of all of the board members. You can't just walk in and take the thing. So some of the Gdolim said, that's not called bishusi. So therefore, there's no, strictly speaking, there's no violation about your Rabbi Matze. So therefore, there wouldn't be a prohibition of chametz she'over all of ha'pesach. So this was also debated. It's very questionable whether that hefter was correct. Bottom line, we have to be careful not to violate by Yerub by Matzeh, and we have to be careful not to eat Chomet She'over Olav HaPesach. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Behetiv quotes, on the bottom of the page of the big Shulchan Aruch, Behetiv quotes that one of the early Achreinim from the 1600s wrote something that's absolutely incorrect, that the penalty of Chomet She'over HaPesach only applies only also to the Jew who violated by Yerub by Matzeh. To other people, there never was a penalty, so that's dead wrong. That's against all the Gemaras. And then these Gedolim are trying to tone it down a little bit. So they said, no, the main issue is for him, and if he himself is absolutely not religious at all, so the whole declaring that it's also for him is irrelevant, so then they never asked it to the others. So they didn't like that heter either. But that's why they had to come up with these additional heter. I want to wish everybody a Chag Kosher V'Sameach. Everybody should enjoy a good Yom Tov. Thank you.
We have time for a couple of questions. Just ask that people make them questions, not statements.
That this is so. And as long as the odds are, and my odds, depending on what the fishing or what the right, you should not worry about it.
When Rabbi Soloveitchik used to tell the Balabatim this chumer that you shouldn't rely on mechir, not proper to rely on mechiras chametz v'chametz b'yen, he said unless you have a liquor shop, unless you have a grocery shop, so then they should make a separate shtar mechir, but you shouldn't include it in the shtar mechir klali. So they asked him, what about Balabatim who have schnapps? So a lot of times he would say, besa nisht zifregen. Because a lot of achreinim, the Pnei Yeshua has a tshuva where he says that schnapps is chametz b'yen. And on other occasions, he would say, that's why they instituted the whole mechiras chametz for the schnapps. It's a question in achreinim, whether schnapps is considered chametz b'yen or taruv is chametz.
We're going to bench just two more announcements. One is that there are some svarim for sale, the Divrei HaRav, which is one of Rabbi Soloveitchik, one of Rabbi Schefter's svarim, which has many fascinating insights, Divrei Torah, about things of Rabbi Soloveitchik, and our own Rabbi Rapid Rosenblum worked on the Masechus in the back. So that's available for $20, and there's a Sefer Ginas Egos that's available for $18, and if you're writing out checks, make them out to the Orthodox Union. Also, please discard your garbage, please help stack up the chairs, and please move the tables to the side. Recite the one you mentioned, you probably wash.
That's really okay.